This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But he did say, hey, he wants to see more fans. He wants to see all the fans. He wants to see every seat filled by fans for the final home game of the year coming up in a few weeks. Did you take it as any kind of a slight at all? Were there too many empty seats yesterday?
There were a lot of fans dressed as orange chairs yesterday, so and it's understandable. I wrote it as the lead to my Game Balls piece last night that, you know what, years and years of prolonged losing and the weather were the primary factors. But you know, if they win at Denver and they're, you know, and they keep themselves in the thick of the playoff race, I don't think it's going to be any problem filling that stadium for the home finale against the Bengals with you know who on the other sideline. But the other thing too is, and I mentioned this, you know, the fans never left. They might not have shown up to the stadium, but Browns fans haven't left. They're everywhere, and when this team becomes really, really good, which I think is going to be next year, they're going to come out of the woodwork from not just across the country, but across the world. And it's going to be an exciting time, finally. But I really didn't have any issue with what Baker said. It was, hey, the place was half empty at kickoff.
But it's cold outside, Daryl. I mean, we have to deal.
Absolutely.
Do you think part of it's a little bit where maybe it's in the subconscious, maybe we're a little trained by it? I know you're going to find it maybe as an excuse. That's fine. I guess it is. But when's the last time we've been here in December and there's actually been worthwhile games?
Exactly. I mean, just not used to it here.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, this is – I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs. I think just too much has to happen. But the fact that we can sit here on December 10th and talk about another win, the fact that they have a winning record at home for the first time since 2007 – they're in the thick of the playoff race. There is a tangible, legitimate path for that to happen. There's still a possibility they could win this division some way, somehow. That is a ginormous step forward for a franchise that couldn't even win a game the last 4 years. So, baby steps. And as I said, the fans are going to fill that stadium. That's not going to be an issue going forward. I just think it's going to, take a little while to get, you know, everyone believing that this is really legitimate and that this team is, a real contender. And they're going to be next year.
Yeah, right. Our Browns beat reporter joining us on the hotline. You said yesterday on our pregame show, right there, West 6 and Barley, you said that you're not thinking playoffs, you're not talking playoffs until two things happen. The Browns get out of the cellar and get to 500. One of those things has now happened. Daryl, are you using the P word?
I used it in a headline yesterday. So, again, you know, it took me all of 30 seconds to come up with the playoff scenario yesterday. It didn't take me 4 hours to come up with some convoluted way that they can backdoor their path into the postseason. I mean, it's there. If they win out and they get some help from four other teams, one of which is on their schedule here, they're in. It's pretty simple. They need a lot of help. There's no question about it. But
what's more likely, Daryl, them doing it the wild card way or them catching the Steelers or the Ravens in the division to win the AFC North?
The wild card, and the reason I say that is because you're counting on Hugh Jackson and the Cincinnati Bengals beating the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 17 in Pittsburgh. And that's just not going to happen. So I think it's more probable, although still highly unlikely, but it's more probable that they get that sixth wild card spot if they can finish 8-7-1.
All right, Ombre, give me a percent chance. Greg Williams returns as the full-time head coach in 2019.
I got to up it a little bit. But they're 3-2. Greg Williams has done in 5 games what Hugh Jackson did in 40, and that's win 3. He did this season, if you want to be, well, you're unfair because of the roster, fine. He's done in 5 games better than what Hugh Jackson did in 8 games with the same football team, even without a few more playmakers. So I have to up the percentage, Ken. I budge from 10. I have to bump the meter up to 15%.
A lot of people have been talking about the dangerous one, Darrell Ryder, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A lot of people talking about that anybody who the Browns have been speaking to about this potential opening, that they're mentioning Freddie Kitchens as being retained as the offensive coordinator. You're saying, yeah, you're hearing the same thing here. What's changed? Is it just where not changed, but what has been the major thought of it? Because a lot of guys can call plays, but it does seem to be like he has a good relationship with the Browns rookie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just look at the product on the football field. That's what's changed, Ken. They're scoring a touchdown more per football game with Freddie Kitchens calling plays. Baker's completion percentage has shot through the roof. So the proof is in the product on the field on Sundays. It's really hard to argue. And I think that the one thing that the Browns would like to do is provide a little continuity or stability if they can for Baker. You know, Jared Goff wasn't affected by the coaching change in his second year. Mitchell Trubisky hasn't been affected by a coaching change in his second year. So there is plenty of evidence out there, Ken, that you can make a head coaching change and a coordinator change and all those type of things without negatively impacting your franchise quarterback going into his second season, which is where the Browns are at. But again, when you look at what's taking place on the field, Nick Chubb, you know, he's got, what, 8 touchdowns since, or 7 touchdowns, I'm sorry, 7 touchdowns since the coaching change. The offense is just more balanced. Everybody's involved. The creativity, the game management, just everything has been improved. These are all things that they thought Todd Haley was going to give them this year. So it's understandable when you watch this offense why the Browns would consider maybe trying to convince whatever head coach they hire that they've got a pretty good coordinator here already in Freddie Kitchens to run this offense.
All right, Darrell, some coaching news, and you know we're talking about Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens. If this staff is going to be kept, especially if they win out the last 3 games of the year, we're talking potential playoffs. And how much fun would that be? But we know that Jim Harbaugh, not that he was a big-time candidate, we were just hearing rumors, but he made it official that he is coming back to Michigan. And then we also had the Matt Campbell extension news yesterday. So one by one, some of these are getting wiped off the board, and you just wonder now what Lincoln Riley is going to do now that he's got another Heisman Trophy with his starting quarterback. You know that's not going to quiet any of the chatter.
Yeah, well, I think the Matt Campbell thing, I don't necessarily think that changes his desire or ability or however you want to state it to come to the NFL. I think that just keeps him there at Iowa State and keeps him from leaving for a better program. So that extension doesn't really change much in my opinion. The Jim Harbaugh news was interesting, and I think all that means he'll be in the NFL in 2020. I really do.
Wow.
I mean,
you can't just drop that.
Where did that come from? Get that to the aggregators. Pump that out.
Why?
I still believe that he is an NFL head coach and not a college coach. And if he loses next year to Ohio State again, which I think he might, I think he'll end up going back to the NFL at some point. So, he came out and said, I mean, come on, how many times do guys come out and say they're not going anywhere, and then a week later they go somewhere? I mean, that's like the kiss of death. So, I mean, it's great that he came out and said that for the fans of the team up north or whatever. And maybe he's feeling all of a sudden optimistic because Urban Meyer's no longer in Columbus and he might actually have a chance to win the game. But, yeah, I don't think that necessarily means that he's at Michigan for life, not by any stretch.
Two things, Darryl. First off, can you do the I think they might line again? Can you do that?
I think they might.
Oh, no, that's not how you said it, Darryl. That is not how you said it. You were pretty exuberant.
What?
Hey.
What am I missing?
Darryl getting swept up in the madness. We're talking playoffs. We're on an emotional roller coaster here.
Darryl, can I'm not asking you to throw anybody under the bus here. But if you want to, go right on ahead.
Yeah, you are. Just ask the question. Okay,
you've been covering the Browns basically since they came back.
Yeah.
We're in December. How many guys have you known, ballpark it, off the top of your head, give me a number, that have been well-known Browns players, liked Browns players who have maybe embellished an injury a little bit here or there so they didn't have to play in the weather like they played in yesterday, and then you had guys like Terrence Mitchell coming back from a broken arm and Larry Ogunjobi basically playing with one arm to go out there to try to win.
Yeah, you know, when you're losing, the injuries really, really turn into injured reserve. There's a couple. We've seen many a Browns team can go in the tank this time of year. But hey, if Eric Mangini can win the final four games of his season to save his job, why can't the Browns get to the playoffs and win their final four games?
Oh, Darryl Ryder, so dangerous.
I did that just for you, Ken.
So dangerous. Yeah,
listen to the joy in Darryl's voice this morning. I've never heard it before, Darryl.
He is positively giddy.
We are not used to talking this positive. Listen, you know, to be realistic, Denver's going to be a tough win on Saturday night. That's going to be very, very tough. There's no question about it. I think they'll beat the Bengals. And the possibilities are there, you know. I mean, you can legitimately look at the schedule. You can look at this team and how they're playing. The fact that they've won three of their last four, which again you have to go back to 2014 since they've done that. But you can at least figure it out. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you can look at it and legitimately say to yourself, this is possible. Not likely, but it's possible. And the way this team has responded with Greg and Freddie, the players have bought in. You know, they're taking the one week at a time mantra. And so far, it's kind of paid off a little bit. So it's a lot more fun to walk into that locker room after a win than it is to ask the same questions we've been asking for 20 years after a loss.
Man, Darryl. Three in a row, getting some help from the rest of the NFL playoffs?
Is it possible? I say yes.
Unbelievable, Darryl. Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joining us on the hotline. Isn't it nice after a game to not have to hear people talk about Duke Johnson didn't get enough touches? He got two touches, and it didn't matter. Two touches. Yep. They didn't throw to him. They
fire Freddie Kitchens. Yes. He only had two touches yesterday. Okay, he doing?
I do want to know, what are the chances as you know, Freddie Kitchens and Baker have this thing developing, and he's been aggressive, although I will say, when Baker can't miss, I'd probably just let him throw all the passes. Nobody else. Let Baker throw the passes.
I agree. Some,
a little cute there.
There have been a couple instances where Freddie has dipped into the old bag of tricks and tried to get a little too cute, but the players love it, and it's part of the reason that they've, you know, bought in. They work on those plays. I mean, Baker's 51-yard touchdown pass. First of all, I can't believe Baker threw the football. That's the first thing. And the second part of that is I can't believe Jarvis Landry caught it with two defenders hanging all over
it. Yeah, that other
like
safety
on Windows.
That other safety was a hair late, but Baker, that's such a perfect throw. That's such guys are always. See, you do this when guys go up against Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Drew Brees, they're always like, we were so close. We're so close to picking it off. but the throw is perfect, and they can't get there in time.
Yeah, the first throw of the game, the deep ball to Perriman that went for 66 yards, and if Brashard was able to keep his feet, he would have scored a touchdown. It would have been a 75-yard touchdown to open the game. The mini jet sweeps runs with Jarvis Landry. One went for a 3-yard touchdown, the other a 50-plus yard run. I mean, it just the guy, if you call the play and it doesn't work, you're an idiot. That's just the way the NFL works. That's the way sports works, okay, if you're a coach. You call a play, it doesn't work, you're the dumbest guy on the planet, you should be fired, and there's no way you should ever coach again. But if it works, you're a genius. And right now, stuff is working with Freddie Kitchens calling plays, and that's why everyone thinks he's a genius, and that's also why, you know, there are some people within the Browns organization that wouldn't be all that upset if they could convince the new head coach to keep Freddie around.
Wow, Daryl, that's where it gets interesting, because if he is calling plays, Freddie Kitchens would go from calling plays to, let's say they went with Josh McDaniels or somebody like Josh McDaniels, then that guy's going to want to call plays. So what, would Freddie want to stay on a staff and he's not calling plays? I think it's a weird spot then.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, we're going to have a lot of things to talk about in regards to not only the head coach, but the makeup of the coaching staff, depending how these final 3 weeks play out. Because if they win these final three, or they win two of three, I do think you got to look at keeping Greg Williams around. I mean, we're hearing some, you know, some light rumblings within the locker room that the players like Greg. Now, granted, right now, what else are they going to say? Let's be fair about it. And that's part of the reason I haven't gone around and surveyed the locker room and asked them about if, you know, Greg should get the full-time job, because not many guys are going to say no, especially on the record. Again, if they finish this thing strong, winning two or three or winning all three, I know I'm at about 15% now, but that number is going to double and triple and maybe quadruple if that in fact happens, and I think you have to consider it. But I've said it, I maintain it. John Dorsey, I believe, did not take this job with Greg Williams on his coaching list. I don't think so. But, again, you keep winning, you got to consider it.
All right, Daryl, appreciate it. That's such joy in Daryl's voice as he appears on North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll talk to you later this week.
You got it, guys. Sure beats talking about losing.
Yes,
that's
it does.
For sure.
Yes, it does. Daryl Ryder there. We come back. We got a lot to get to.
He is so excited.
Yeah.
He
that's Daryl
so
Ryder.
Excited.
That was Daryl Ryder. This is invasion of the body snatchers all of a sudden. Good stuff from Daryl. When we come back, lots to chew on there about the coaches because which candidates are still out there now that your boy Matt Campbell is out there, and are fans back on the Greg Williams bandwagon after a one-week hiatus? Let's get to that when we come back on 92.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.